This isn't about where we've been. This is about the future of our church and the future of our community. This is about helping people discover and become who God has created them to be.
Welcome to Discover Church.
Welcome to Discover Church.
Welcome to Discover Church.
Welcome to Discover Church, a place to discover and become who God has created you to be. And I'm so grateful that you're in the house this morning. We're going to look into God's Word for a few moments as we turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. I want to talk about the manifest presence of God. What we're going to be reading here is all about the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem. It has a lot in common with what is happening here this morning at Discover Church. I almost said Oak Creek Assembly of God. It's going to happen. All right. 43 years I've been saying that, so you're going to have to give me a little mercy, a little grace, and we'll always come back and say the right thing, hopefully. But we're talking about the manifest presence of God. And I want you to place yourself for these next few moments there in Jerusalem at the temple. It has just been finished. It is now completed work. It's time for worship to begin in this place that has been in the heart of David and then built by his son Solomon. Here's what it says, 2 Chronicles 6. But will the Lord really dwell on earth with humans? Good question. The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you, how much less the temple that I have built. Yet the Lord my God, give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence. May your eyes be opened towards this temple day and night, this place of which you said you would put your name there. May you hear the prayer of your servant, praise towards this place. And then as it goes into verse 1 of the next chapter, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, a sign that God was pleased. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good. His love endures forever. Back to verse 18 once again. But will God really dwell on earth with humans? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you, how much less the temple I have built. It was dedication day. The long-awaited temple was now finally complete. This day was the consummation of more than 7 years of planning, designing, and building. And friends, what a dedicatory service they had planned. a massive choir, a massive orchestra numbering even into the thousands, a priestly procession transporting the Ark of the Covenant, pageantry, speeches, and prayers. What a fitting and well-planned celebration for such a grand occasion. But then it happened. Right in the middle of the dedication celebration, everything that Solomon and his father David had longed for, the very thing that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived for, as incredible as it may sound, it happened. God came down and filled the temple. I want you to consider with me, first of all, the omnipresence of God. You know, when we say that God is omnipresent, we mean that God is in all places at all times. Omni literally means all. Friends, God's presence literally blankets the earth. But not only the earth that we live on, but the entire universe that is immeasurable around us. I think back in 1961, at the height of the U.S.-Russian space race, Yuri Gagarin, which was a Russian cosmonaut, he became the first human to journey into outer space. It was upon his return that he boldly declared, "I have been into the heavens and I saw no God." A few months later, astronaut John Glenn returned from space, and he was sarcastically asked by a reporter, "So, did you see any God in the heavens?" To which he responded, "My God is not so small that I expected to see him in space." Listen to what David said about this. In Psalm 139, verses 7 to 10, he says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast." David is simply saying there's nowhere that I can go and get away from the presence of God. That God's omnipresence blankets the entire earth and all of the universe. So if I go to the heavens, you are there. If I ascend to the depths, you are there. God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. So at this very moment, I want you to think about it. At this moment, God is concurrently in all of these places. He's here in America. He's in South America. He's with our friends north of the border in Canada. He's in Australia. He's in China. He's in Japan. He's in England and Germany and Russia, Ukraine. He is in Denmark, Norway, Sweden. He's in Israel, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan. And I could add to it, there's 195 nations known on the earth today. And of the 195 nations, God is in all places. Amen. So we can say confidently this morning that God is in New York. He is in London. He is in Tokyo. He is in Chicago. He is in Kenosha. He's in Racine in Caledonia. He is in our own city of Oak Creek. He's in Franklin. He's in Cudahy. He's in South Milwaukee. He's in Greendale and Greenfield. He is in Brookfield. Matter of fact, we could list this morning 19,495 incorporated cities in the United States, and I would declare to you, God is in all of them. Now let's drive that nail just a wee bit deeper. God is at the corner gas station up here at 13th and Rawson. God is just a little further north than that is a restaurant. God is at the restaurant just up the block. Matter of fact, and it may come as a surprise, God is even at the local bar. God is up north, wherever that is. Ever since moving to Milwaukee, I've always heard about people, well, they're up north. I'm convinced there is no such place. I think that's just where they say they're at when they're not in church. But God is up north, but he's also at the beach down south. God is at the Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, the Lutheran Church, and the Methodist Church down the street. God is everywhere. He permeates all things. The Apostle Paul, there in Athens, he said this to the Athenians in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28. In a city that was given over to such a number of many, you know, places where they would worship and statues and statuary and little places and little covens that they would take and worship their gods, which they believed in many. He said, I want you to understand something. I want you to understand that the Lord God, the God that created all of the heavens and the earth, it is in him that we live and move and have our very being. And he said, I want you to understand that as close as you have become to knowing the true God is your statue to the unknown God. And let me tell you who the unknown God is to you, because he's known to me and he fills all the universe. And you are literally enveloped in this God that created the heavens and the earth. As wonderful as God's omnipresence is, friends, there's something that's even better. It is what Solomon craved for when he built the temple. It is what Moses longed for when he asked God, show me your glory. It is called the manifest presence of God. The manifest presence of God could be called the concentrated presence of God, or a time and place where God is clearly present and where God is obvious. It may not be only with one's senses, but it's with one's heart. And you begin to sense you are in the very presence of Almighty God. Not only does he fill the universe, not only is he in the cities of the world, but he is now present and I'm in communication directly with him. It is a deeper manifestation of God's presence than the general presence of God or omnipresence of God. I would so enjoy when my parents were living out in South Dakota, we would talk by phone almost every week. But not only would we talk by phone, there were times when they would come and visit. And I'm convinced they came more to see the grandchildren than they did to see us. But nonetheless, it was such a wonderful time when they would come. And I knew they existed. They were there in South Dakota, and I could pick up the phone. I could talk to them anytime I wanted. But there was nothing like when I would see their car pull up in front of our house, get out, come in the house, sit down, and now my parents were with me. God's visitation is so real. The manifest presence of God is what Israel experienced on the day that the temple was dedicated. Look at it again in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It says, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices. Again, a sign that God was pleased. And the glory of the Lord did what? It filled the temple. And as a result of that, the priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory or the weight of God's glory was so rich and full in the house, they could not even get in. Look at verse 3. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and they gave thanks to the Lord, saying, he is good. His love endures forever. The manifest presence of God is what Moses encountered at the burning bush. And when he encountered God at the burning bush, it set his life on a brand new trajectory. Remember, his life breaks into three time periods, each of 40 years. He lived to be 120. The first 40 years of Moses' life, he was in the palace. He was being trained to be a leader in Egypt. The next 40 years, he found himself on the backside of the desert, on the run from Egypt, because he had killed an Egyptian when he was killing a you know, and beating mercilessly a Jewish individual, a Hebrew. And as a result of that, you see where Moses now is on a run. He's on the backside of the desert. And then the next 40 years of his life, you find him doing what God called him to do. But it all started when he saw a bush that was burning, and yet it was not consumed. And as he walked towards this bush, trying to figure out, how can this desert bush be ablaze and yet it not burn up? And as he got closer and closer, he heard the voice of God out of the flames of the fire there at that bush, saying, "Take off your sandals, Moses. The ground on which you're standing is holy ground." And Moses' life was commissioned, and Moses' life was redirected at that moment. It was the manifest presence of God. Or what about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They experienced there in the fiery furnace the manifest presence of God. Or Belshazzar at his feast, when the hand of God came down in the middle of that feast and wrote on the banquet wall, what did he write? What did God write? He wrote and he said, "You have been weighed in the balances and you're found wanting." The manifest presence of God traveled with the Israelites all throughout the wilderness travels. Matter of fact, the Bible tells there was a cloud by day giving them shade, and then it was a fire by night giving them light and warmth. The shroud that shook the mountain of Sinai. It was the manifest presence of God. When God came down on the mountain, the Bible says there was lightning, there was fire, and the mountain itself shook. And God commanded, "Don't let anyone touch the mountain, man or beast, or they will die, for I am present." The manifest presence of God is what Peter, James, and John, what they experienced on the Mount of Transfiguration along with Jesus. Listen to that account. It's found in Matthew chapter 17. It says, "After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. And a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him.' When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. 'Get up,' he said, 'do not be afraid.'" Friends, when God shows up in his manifest presence, there is no doubt that he is in the house. Lives are changed. Bodies are healed. Marriages are reconciled. Hope is reborn. Jesus, as he walked the face of the earth, he was the purest form of God's manifest presence. When Jesus showed up, the sick were healed. The dead were raised back to life. Sin was forgiven. Resources were multiplied. With a few loaves and fishes, he was able to feed multitudes. Friends, I can personally testify that every long-lasting, fond spiritual memory in my life in some way is directly related to a moment in my life where the manifest presence of God showed up. And every time he showed up in a very unique and special way, my life was transformed. And I'm sure that many of in the house today, by waving a hand, would say, every time God is present, my life has been changed. Amen? Amen and amen all over the house. So once you've experienced the manifest presence of God, nothing else will satisfy your soul. Therefore, we must hunger and thirst for the manifest presence of God. You know, the weekly manifest presence of God that we pray for here in this sanctuary is not nearly enough for each and every one of us. We must all desire God's presence in our individual lives, in our homes. You know, every home has a personality. You can step into a house and you can begin to just get a little feel for what happens in that home. I pray that your home is a little bit of heaven on earth. I pray that the manifest presence of God in your life and in the life of your mate and of your children makes your home a little heaven on earth. In our neighborhood, my prayer is that the manifest presence of God would bless our neighborhood and touch the neighborhood I live in and your neighborhood as well, the place where we work, our city, our state, our nation, and our world. You see, friends, through God's omnipresence, and though his omnipresence fills the entire universe, here's what we must do. We must long for his manifest presence here at Discover Church. However, God's manifest presence only comes. It only comes to those who long for him, those who hunger for him, those that crave more of him. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You can hunger and thirst after a lot of things in life and only find at the end of your hungering and thirsting, you're still hungry and thirsty. The need has not been met. But the Bible says, if we will hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will be filled. And the manifest presence of God will come as we seek his face. You know, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And as we praise him, and as we worship him in spirit and in truth, guess who shows up? The manifest presence of God. When we long for him above anything else and everything else, guess who comes? It is nothing other than the presence of Almighty God. Back to 2 Chronicles 7. When Solomon then had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple. Let me tell you a little something that happened a number of years ago. Notice there it says, and they saw the glory of the Lord above the temple. It was a Sunday night service. It was in our little first building that was on these grounds here. It's no longer. It would seat about 120 persons, but that Sunday night, God had come down in a very rich and special way in that service. An individual was driving from Chicago to Milwaukee, driving on I-94. As he was driving by the property here off of I-94, he noticed what seemed to be fire shooting out of the roof of that little church. And believing that the church was actually physically on fire and realizing that possibly seeing some cars, maybe we're not aware of it, he pulls in the parking lot, entered in the back door, and told us, "Your building's on fire." It wasn't on fire. The glory of God had descended in a very special way. And the Bible says, when the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good." How many would declare, "God is good"? Hallelujah. God is good, and his love endures forever. So the Bible says then, here's what happened. They beheld the manifest presence of God. They saw the fire. They saw the glory of God above the temple. They knelt then on the pavement with their faces to the ground in respect for what was taking place. And they worshiped and they gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good. His love endures forever." Now, friends, like the life-sustaining oxygen that surrounds the earth, all we have to do to have that oxygen in our bodies is to do what? Breathe it in. There was a little guy that was just a few years younger when I was growing up in our home church of South Dakota, that when he would get angry with his parents, he would hold his breath. And then the little guy would hold his breath until he literally would pass out. And parents would tell him, "That's not good. That's dangerous to do." And he kept on doing it. He became ill. went into the doctor, just about a five-year-old, and the doctor was trying to figure out what was wrong with him and why he was so ill, and he got angry with the doctor, held his breath, and died in the doctor's office. Oxygen surrounded him. You can take and go to some of the highest peaks, and you'll find that there's a level of oxygen there enough to sustain life. And all you have to do to get the oxygen that surrounds the earth and the atmosphere of the earth is to do what? Breathe it into your lungs. Friend, let me tell you, God's presence is everywhere. And God's presence, he makes himself known. And listen to what he does here. The whole point then of God's manifest presence is to awaken men and women to the fact that he is present and that he longs for a personal relationship with each and every individual on planet Earth. God is ever near. He is omnipresent. And all we have to do is do what? Let him in. The manifest presence of God. His presence fills the universe, the cities of the world, the countries of the world. But may we ever long for his presence here in this house. This is the first day, the first Sunday of Discover Church. And my prayer is that we will never, ever meet without the wonderful presence of God in the house. The presence of God that heals, restores, saves, changes lives. God is ever near. And all we have to do is just breathe him in, invite him in. Lord, this morning, Lord, I believe that you are in the house. For you have promised, whether we see any smoke, whether we see fire, that it's the still small voice of God. And you've been whispering in the ears of men and women, not shouting, but whispering in a loving, caring way like a father. And you're saying you've been on the run for too long. The anxiety, the worry, the fret, the depression that you can't shake. I want to help you do life. You were never created to do this on your own. And you will wear out physically, emotionally, and spiritually attempting this on your own. Thank you, Lord, for being present. You're in the house this morning. You've been knocking on hearts' doors. And though we don't see smoke or fire or any of this, Lord, we do. We do sense you knocking, and our heart knows the knock of our Father. Father, I pray, Lord, that lives will be transformed. Lord, we pray that this sanctuary would always be filled with the presence of God. Lord, may our hungering and thirsting after you invite you. May our worship in spirit and in truth be the indicator that we long for your presence in the house. Not only the presence of God that is everywhere, but your intense healing, restoring, saving power in the house. That's our prayer. And Father, I pray right now for those that sense that knock at their heart. You're saying, will you allow me to come in? I've come on a mission, and that mission was to seek and to save the lost. I've come that you might have life, Jesus said, and have it more abundantly. The word says, where sin abounds, the grace of God doth much more abound. Maybe the enemy has been trying to tell you that you're beyond the grace of God. And that is one of his many ploys and tricks. And that you just as well accept the fact you are what you are and you'll never be anything more. You'll never know peace with God, relationship with God. Friend, that's a lie from hell. Where sin abounds, the grace of God much more abounds. And he's knocking at your heart. He's saying, I'm in the house. I want to have a conversation with you. I want to forgive your past. I want to set you on a brand new trajectory in your life. How many would say with heads bowed and eyes closed, Pastor, that's where I'm at. I long for and I need, I know what I need. I need a relationship with God. I know that God has been with me. God's been around me. God has protected me. But I need the manifest presence of God in my life. And I know that there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And so I want to give him my heart, my life today. Let me see your hands all over this room so I can know who to pray for. Yeah, hands are going up all over. Thank you for your honesty. God sees that hand. He sees your heart. He knows your frustrations. He knows why you are where you are and where he wants you to be. Let me ask another question this morning. How many would say, you know, Pastor, all throughout this COVID 2020 on, I've just had a lot of anxiety. I've been dealing with a lot of, you know, depression even in my life. And I need the presence of God, the manifest presence of God to come into my heart, my life today, to give me victory over anxiety, over depression, whatever it is that you're facing emotionally. Let me see your hand as well. That's right, all over this room. I'd love to pray for you. I'm going to give you that opportunity this morning. We're going to ask, as the worship team begins to sing, if that's in your heart today, you just raise your hand. I'd love the privilege of praying with you and praying for you this morning. I invite you to come, just like they did in the first and the second, now the third service. You come. I'd love to pray for you. And allow the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to you and set your life on a new trajectory, just like Moses, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You come as they begin to sing.